The following message is from Living Waters Church in Elk River, Minnesota. For more information about us, visit livingwatersmn.org.
I want to take care of a couple of things real quick. Heidi, is Dan here with you today? He's not here? Well, if not, could you if not, could you come up front? I got a word for you and Dan.
Is he in the building, Heidi?
Yeah, if you could find Dan, it'd be great. Okay. Okay. And then if you could bring Libby up. The Lord, this is a couple of things the Lord showed me during worship. In worship team, you brought heaven. Yeah. I want to just say thank you for bringing heaven. Yeah. The anointing that was here during worship touched my soul. And I'm not kidding you. I am still shaking from the anointing. It's so heavy. It's just still here. It's radiating in this building. One of the things that I shared with on Thursday nights during the school was a long story, so I'm going to cut it real short. Is that the Lord said to me one day, he said, "That in which I have given unto you, I expect you to give to other people." And so I learned that lesson. And those who heard the story, it was a fishing story. And ever since that day, I started carrying extra equipment with me. If you were there, kind of, you know, maybe you can share the story, it's a long story, but I really truly believe that that I'm going to share with Libby something the Lord had given to me. Lydia. A number of years ago, I was asked to come and pray for autistic children. And I said, okay, I don't know why I'm here, but yeah, okay, I'll just come. And so I was faithful to attend the meeting for several weeks. And then one day, the leader of the group came to me and said, "Now you have something to give." I said, "It's time for you to give. It's time for you to share." And I said, "Great." And so there was a young boy. His name was George. He was 16 years old, natural age. But George actually had the mental capacity of another 5 or 6 year old. And the Lord said, "I want you to bring him to me." And I said, "Lord, how do I bring him to you?" Excuse me, this story touches me. And so he said, "You know how to do this." So I sat down on a chair and I said, "George," and I set him on my lap. And so I said, "Lord," I said, "I bring George to you." And I saw a vision of me handing George to Jesus on his lap. The next week, his mother came running into the building and said to me, "I don't know what you prayed, I don't know what you did, but my son is no longer the same as he was before." And I said, "Well, what do you mean?" He said, "My son is 16-year-old and has never touched a stove or a cooking utensil in his life." He said, "The very next day after we left here, my son went home and cooked lunch. He cooked soup, he made sandwiches for everyone, and never cut himself or hurt himself. He began talking in a fashion we never heard him talk before. His maturity level seems to have grown up." And so when I saw Lydia, the Lord says, "Bring her to me." Come on. So as a body, can we bring Lydia to the Lord right now?
Yes.
Come here, youngsters. Thank you, sweetie. All right, let's just bring her to the Lord. Father, you said to me, "Bring Lydia to you." And so, Father, I'm bringing her to you. Father, I pray over her mind. I pray over her body. And I pray over her spirit. And Father, I speak complete healing over her mind, her spirit, and her soul, and her body right now in Jesus' name. As you did for George, Lord, I expect the same for this young lady. We bring her to heaven right now. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you. And I thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for touching her. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. All right, there you go. Keep an eye on her, because I truly believe that the Lord's touched her.
Yes.
Oh, it was just my business.
You don't need it.
Oh. Okay. Thank you. Dan and Heidi, during worship, Heidi, the Lord began to show me you and Dan. And you, the two of you have been extremely faithful to serving Christ, Amen. Serving the Lord.
Yeah.
And you've been diligent.
Yes.
And you've been here when others wouldn't be here. And you were always off to the side, just kind of doing what you're doing. Working with your hands, doing it. But you never brought attention to yourself. You did it because you were serving the Lord. Now the Lord says, it's time for promotion. Amen?
Amen.
It's time for promotion. The Lord has shown me that the two of you are going to start, the Lord is going to start imparting things into your mind. You're going to be traveling places. You're going to be going places with ministry in mind. There's a greater anointing for ministry coming upon the two of you together working as a team. And I saw that God bringing you from the shadows out into the forefront and lifting you up. And you're both sitting on this platform bringing glory to God. Together you're going to do great and mighty things for the Lord. And it's just beginning to start. So when someone says to you, hey, would you come up and help lead this group? Don't be shy, because the Lord wants to promote you. Amen? And Dan, same thing with your business. I already see the Lord giving you favor. Whatever you're doing for, I don't know what Dan does for, but I see favor, a great amount of favor upon your life. Moving into new avenues and new levels of business. I don't know what that is, but I'm just going to say this is what it is. But great favor is coming upon you. So, Father, I thank you for Dan, and I thank you for Huddy, Lord. They have been faithful to serve you. Now, Father, I thank you that as they step out from the shadows, Lord, that you're going to bring them and guide them and lead them into the places that you want them to be. Lord, I thank you for anointing them to another level, a greater level of anointing in their lives. And that when they connect with people, people are just going to say, what is it about you? What's different about you? And it's the glory of God that just stops all over. It just falls all over you. And Dan, people are going to want to do business with you just because of the presence of God about you.
Yes.
It's a change. There's a heart change that's starting to happen. And you're going to feel it. Today you're going to receive. If you're in Sunday school, but today you're going to receive this new heart change. It's a heart implant. And people are just going to walk up to you and say, I want to do business with you. Thank you, Father. Lord, bless them in Jesus' name. Thank you. Thank you.
Amen.
Amen. You guys ready to receive something today?
Yes.
I was telling Dave during the ministry time, the prayer time, that as I was getting ready to come here, this is actually new for me as far as teaching on the favor of God or teaching on the spirit of generosity. We're going to kind of call this today the spirit of generosity. And it's new for me, and because I'm always talking about prophetic evangelism, I'm talking about evangelism or, you know, whatever it might be. And when Dave asked me to come today, I was kind of hesitant at first because I really wasn't sure, but the Lord said go. And so I'm going to share with you some things that happened to me personally and how God has touched my life. And I have gone through some trials in my life. I'll be the first one to tell you that. I think we all have. We all have a story. Today, God wants to start a new chapter for every one of you. There's something that God has placed within me that he wants me to release to you. When he said that I want you to, whatever I give to you, I want you to give to others, he wasn't kidding. God has put me to the test and has put me to the test. And he has asked me to do things. At times I'm like going, are you, I'm like, really? I'm like, okay, Lord. Okay, here we go. Who knows John Bevere? Everybody knows John Bevere? One night I was sitting in my room and John Bevere happened to come on TV. And he started telling a story of how it was that he was contemplating the idea of leaving his church. He was complaining that he wasn't listening, he wasn't receiving from the pastor anymore, he wasn't getting anything from church anymore, and he just wasn't hearing the word anymore. So he talked to his wife, he was talking to friends, he was murmuring, he was complaining. He said, I just think that maybe we need to go to a different church because I'm just not getting anything anymore. So one night he was praying, and the Lord stopped him in his tracks. And it said, you know why you're not receiving anything from your pastor? He says, because you're not listening. He said, you go to church with a predetermined idea that you're not going to receive anything. Hello? Yeah. So this morning, I want you to receive what God has for you today. I'm going to impart something to you. I don't know exactly what it is yet, but there's going to be an impartation to you today that you're going to take with you today that's going to absolutely transform your life in every facet and every form, because it did me. It absolutely did to me. So if you want to receive what the word is today, it may be one word, it may be in a sentence, it may be the whole word. I'm going to stop right now. I want you to put your hands out. Father, I thank you that we have come to receive today. Lord, everyone here in this room is different. We all have different stories. We're all in different places. So, Father, I pray right now that the Holy Spirit would give us ears to hear what it is you've given me to share. In Jesus' name, amen. So, can you bring up Luke 19? You know, I've always heard about the story of Zacchaeus. Who's familiar with the story of Zacchaeus? Wee little Zacchaeus, right? We have these little songs. Zacchaeus is so cute. He's so small. He's whatever, right? But Zacchaeus, if you look at the scriptures, Zacchaeus was a pretty sinful man. Zacchaeus was a very wealthy man. Zacchaeus was, he worked for the Roman government as the chief tax collector in the city. And Zacchaeus, he wanted everything he could get for himself. Zacchaeus wanted to build his kingdom. And so he would take things from people that he would overtax people. Every time he would knock on a door, people are like, what do you want? You know, they would try not to answer the door. But it was tax time, you know. So let's read this together. Now behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus who was a chief tax collector, and he was rich. And he sought to see who Jesus was, but could not because of the crowd, for he was short in stature. So he ran ahead and climbed up a sycamore tree to see him, for he was going to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said to him, Zacchaeus, make haste, come down, for today I must stay at your house. So he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. But when they saw it, they all complained, saying, He has gone to be a guest with a man who was a sinner. Keep going. Then Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, Lord, I give half my goods to the poor, and if I have taken anything from anyone by false accusation, I restore fourfold. Next one. And Jesus said to him, salvation has come to this house because he is also a son of Abraham. One of the part of that scripture I want to just show you is that, let's go back to two verses prior. Keep going. Nope. Next one. Sorry. Next one. Next one down. Let me look it up here. Let's go back to where it says, he said, I will restore fourfold. Then Zacchaeus stood and said, Lord, I'll give half my goods to the poor, and if I've taken anything from anyone by false accusation, I've restored fourfold. Anywhere in that scripture, do you hear Jesus saying anything about, hey, Zacchaeus, you know what? You want to redeem yourself? Why don't you give half your goods to the poor? Did Jesus say that? Is there anything in there that says, I want you to restore it fourfold? Not one word. What happened to Zacchaeus? What changed Zacchaeus' heart? It was the presence of God. It was the presence of Jesus. Jesus saw Zacchaeus in that tree, and he knew that Zacchaeus would be a primer to ignite a revival in that city. Jesus never one time asked him to do anything, but it was the presence of God that moved upon his heart so greatly that changed him and changed an entire village. You see, the village itself now, here's Zacchaeus going around town, knocking on doors, giving money away, knocking on doors saying, you know, I think I overcharged you. I think I overcharged you? He purposely, right? But gave them back four times. It changed the economic condition of that city. Completely changed the economic condition of that city. And what happens is that what happened to me. Okay, Holy Spirit, you got to be obedient here. You know, sometimes we get talking and the Holy Spirit wants us to kind of change our dialogue and wants to change us a few things, so I'm going to kind of go a different route. A handful of years ago, I was driving down Highway 55 going out west. And I was listening to a series on giving and tithing. And about the city of Independence, all of a sudden the Holy Spirit invaded my car. Just invaded my vehicle. And I began to cry. And I mean, tears are coming out of my eyes. I'm weeping and I'm crying. Driving down the road, come to a stop sign. A person looks at me and I'm like, God, I'm crying. I'm listening to a series on tithing. I'm crying, God. And I didn't understand it at first. But what God did for me, what God did to me that day, is his presence came into my vehicle and touched my heart. He absolutely transformed my heart from in my thinking. I had this understanding, this revelation of how much the Father loved me. And in doing so, I couldn't wait to go back to church that Sunday morning and to give my tithe to the Lord. I couldn't wait. I was so excited. I called the church, can I give my tithe now? And they're like, huh? What? And, you know, it was just a day away. And I said, well, I'll just bring a Sunday. I was so excited. But the transformation, what happens, when I understood the fullness of how much God loved me, it absolutely transformed my mind and my thinking of how I was to give. You see, I always was a giver. I always was a tither. I always tithed. But I didn't really know and understand the true meaning behind tithing. I didn't understand that my 10% was actually redeeming the 90%. I didn't understand that. I didn't understand that my 10% was not mine. It actually belonged to God. And so I changed my wording from giving my tithe to bringing my tithe. Because you say you can't give something that doesn't belong to you, right? It's like if I go to the airport, if I'm going to go on a trip for a couple of weeks and I know Bob's car's in the shop and I say, hey, Bob, would you do me a favor? Could you drive me to the airport? And you go, sure, I'd love to take you to the airport, Jim. And so I'm there for a couple weeks. I'm coming back, and Bob picks me up at the airport, and he goes, you know, Jim, you know, Marcy and I have been talking about this. We've been praying about this all week. We'd like to bless you with this car. But yet the car belonged to me. So you can't bless me with something that I already own. Hallelujah. Let me grab my glasses right here. There was a man by the name of Steve Doolin. He is a financial planner. And one year, he was sitting at his desk and just looking at some of his finances. And he decided to look at his checking account. He looked at how much his checking account was. And then he had this idea, well, let me check my savings account. And he checked his savings account. And he said, well, let me check my 401k. He checked his 401k. And then he checked, he said, let me check my stocks. And so he checked his stocks. And he's sitting there looking at his numbers, and he goes, you know, thank you, Lord, for blessing me. And all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit goes, will you give it all? What was that, Lord? He says, will you give it all? And he's like, oh, I got to be hearing things. But he knew in his spirit that the Lord was asking him, would you give it all to him? Would you give it all? And so he knew what the Lord was asking him. So he called his wife and talked to his wife and said, honey, this is what the Lord has put it on my heart. And she confirmed what he had said. And so they put together a giving plan and they gave away all of their accounts, all of their money. So about a year had gone by and Steve was at his desk again. And the Holy Spirit said, hey, have you checked your checking account lately? And Steve goes, no, I'm good, Lord. He said, I'm good. And the Holy Spirit goes, no, go ahead and check it. Go ahead and check it. And he said, no, Lord, I'm good. He says, no, just check it. So he pulled out his checking account, he pulled out his savings account, and he pulled out his 401k and his stock account. And what he noticed was this, that the amount doubled in 1 year. It doubled in 1 year. It never happened before, and it hasn't happened since that I know of. But because he was faithful, because it was his heart was in the right condition, his right heart was in the right place, God doubled what he had in his account because he was faithful to give and obedient to give what the Lord asked him to give. His heart was in the right place. You see, Steve never said, you know, hey, Lord, can you double this for me? He never did any of that. He just said, okay, Lord, I'll give it to you. And the Lord doubled it in 1 year. There are some people here who are in, you are actually, okay, I got to make sure I get this right, because I'm seeing a woman with a white coat or a white sweater. Who's got a white, you have a white sweater, you have a white coat. There is a financial release happening, to both of you. There's something in your life, there's a financial release that's about to happen in your life. There's an expectation that's been going on with you, and you, both of you have, you've been praying and seeking the Lord about this. And the Lord just put it on my heart and said, your breakthrough is breaking through. It's not about to, it's breaking through. So whatever that is, whatever that is, hallelujah. Let's turn over to John chapter 12. Can we look at John chapter 12? All right, I like these screens. I like to read the Bible from the screen. The letters are bigger. All right. Then 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany, where Lazarus, who had been dead, whom he had raised from the dead, continue on. There they made him a supper, and Martha served him, but Lazarus was one of those who sat at the table with him. Continue. Then Mary took a pound of very costly oil and spikenard, anointed the feet of Jesus, and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the fragrance of oil. Do you know that that's the only account at that right there, of Jesus' body being anointed before he was buried, before he died on the cross. That was the only account of his body being anointed. It was a Hebrew tradition. But one of the disciples named Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, who would betray him, said, why was this fragrant oil not sold for 300 denarii and given to the poor? Then he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and had the money box, and he used to take what was in it. But Jesus said, let her alone. She has kept this for the day of my burial. Okay, we'll stop there. 2 months previous to them being there, Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead, her brother. Do you think her perspective of earthly possessions changed? Just 2 months prior, her brother was dead. And now, because of Jesus, her brother is now alive. What happened to Mary is that she had this heart of gratitude. She was so thankful to the Lord for what he did. She brought 1 year's worth of wage. A denarii was actually a 1 day's wage back in that day. So the value of that spikenard was 300 denarii. If we go over to Mark chapter 14, we'll basically see the same account. Can we speed ahead a little bit here? 2 days past, okay, keep next one. For it might have been sold for more than 300 denarii and given to the poor. 300 denarii, a whole year's worth of salary. Let me ask you a question. What has God done in your life that you're so grateful for that you would give him a whole year's worth of your salary? Let me ask you this question. Where's your heart? Pastor Dave, basically, you know, this morning we were talking about when you're doing the offering, all these scriptures were solid scriptures. You took my scriptures, Dave. No, just kidding. Just kidding. Just kidding, Dave. But it was a condition of her heart. You see, gratitude creates generosity. When you're grateful for something, you're willing to give basically anything that you want. Anything that you want. When you're grateful for something, you begin to realize the true value of what it is that you have. My one son, Austin, he was um, he one day came in and he was limping. He was 5 years old and he was limping. And we asked him if he was in pain or anything. And he said, no, no pain. But we just had this gut feeling that we needed to bring him to the doctor. So my wife brought him to the doctor and they did an x-ray on his leg and found out he had a hole in his femur right above the kneecap about the size of a quarter. And he was only 5 years old. And it was only within an eighth inch or something of the growth plate of the knee. And if the hole continued to grow, it would cause his bone would cause a defect in his leg. And so we prayed. And then there was, at that point in time, there was a service going on at church. And the Lord put it on my heart to give a certain amount of money. I said, Lord, I really, Lord? This is real? He said, yes, you need to give this money. Now, he didn't tell me that I needed to give the money that my son would be healed, but he just asked me, would you give this money? And so I reached over to my wife, and I said, you know, this is what the Lord's put on my heart. She says, okay. So a number of weeks had gone by, and we had taken him to 3 other doctors because we wanted to make sure that this was the right diagnosis, and the hole was still there. In fact, the hole was getting worse. It was getting bigger. It was getting uglier. And finally, one of the doctors, Dr. Walker, said to us that, you know, we need to kind of do an exploratory surgery to find out what was going on. And so we did the exploratory surgery, and he said, we'll see you back in 3 months. We came back in 3 months. The hole was still there, but it wasn't, but it hadn't healed. I mean, it hadn't gotten any smaller and hadn't gotten any bigger. And then he said, well, we'll give it 3 more months. And so we went home and we prayed and we sought the Lord. And the next time we went there, Austin got on the table. Austin's like 5 years old and cute little kid. I'm sitting in the x-ray booth, and the x-ray came out and his leg was completely healed. His leg was completely healed. You know, I don't care if God would have asked me to sell my house and give it, I would have, for my son. But I see, he didn't say conditionally, if you do this, you'll get this. But the Lord was saying, where's your heart? Where's your heart? Thank you, Lord. I want to show you, you know, this story is an awesome story. It's the difference between generosity and somebody who's very selfish. You know, Judas, he could care less about the poor. He could care less. He was more interested in funding his own international ministry of myself. That's what he was interested in. He just wanted the money. And, you know, the thing is about selfishness. Selfishness promotes self. Selfishness protects self. And selfishness provides for self. It's what can I do for myself? I'll protect myself. No, that's okay. I'll do this for myself. I'll do this. It's all about me. It's the spirit of poverty is what it is. Is that you're holding on to everything. You're grasping on to everything you can get a hold of because you're so afraid that you're not going to have enough for tomorrow. Lord, you're asking me to give how much? Lord, do you realize I need gas tomorrow? But the Lord is just testing your heart. He's testing the condition of your heart. I was in a conference, and I had a bank account set aside just for my attorney. Because I was going through a situation in my life at the time, and I had $1,500 in my account. And during this missionary conference, it came time for, you know, for the tithes and the offerings and giving and stuff. And the Lord asked me, "Son, will you give $1,100 out of that account?" And I said, "Lord, this is for my attorney. He needs to get paid." And the Lord said, "Would you give that, please?" I said, okay, Lord, I'll give it. So I pulled out my checkbook and grudgingly wrote the check out. I said, and I'm like, okay, God, you know, it was a major test for me. And so I dropped it in the box and I started sweating bullets. I was sweating bullets. And the next morning, I got up in the morning and I felt like I was panicking. And I called up the church and I said, "Murray, who's our accountant? Murray, this is Jim. Can I get my money back?" What? Can I get my money back? I never had anybody call and ask for their money back before. I don't know. And all of a sudden, I said, the Holy Spirit says, no, don't. I said, okay. So I hung up. I said, sorry, Maria. I'm sorry. I'm just a little nervous. And I hung up the phone. A week later, I had my attorney call me. And he said, Jim, he said, the Lord put it on my heart to forgive your fees. I had $45,000 in outstanding fees. $45,000. The Lord put it on his heart to forgive my fees. Not only that, I had a $3,200 doctor bill that I was paying monthly on. And I called the doctor's office and I said, well, you know, I'm a little behind this month. She goes, for what? She says, well, I owe you 30. She goes, well, according to our records, you're paid up in full. Not only did the Lord pay off the $45,000, but he paid off the $3,200 doctor bill as well. And we all know that attorneys and doctors, they want their money, you know. You know, selfishness promotes itself. So I'm going to tell a story about myself. I'm going to tattle a little bit on myself. I was telling David that God gives me material. I should almost be a comedian at times. So, as a realtor, I was always said okay. I did, you know, Lord was blessing me, and I said to the Lord one day, I said, man, Lord, wouldn't it be great if I was the number one salesperson in our office? Just thank God. I said, what a testimony that would be. You know, praise God for being number one salesperson, you know? Because I'd get to number two, I'd get to number three, you know, I'd be the customer service award, that customer service, but I could never get the number one award. And I'm like, Lord, what is going on here? This would be a great testimony. So I said, I'm going to push hard this year to be the number one salesman. And the Holy Spirit, all of a sudden, he just said, why are you chasing man's awards? He said, I didn't call you to chase awards. I called you to serve. And I'm like, oh, Lord. And that's true. I was praying one day. And the Lord, and as I was praying, the Lord said to me, he said, son, he said, I've called you to serve. Anybody who needs to buy a house, I don't care who it is, I'm going to send your way. You need to serve them. You need to have a heart of servanthood. So the following year, I said, okay, Lord. He says, I will serve you, Lord. I'll sell anybody a house who wants to buy a house. Well, he tested me last. He tested me that year. I get a phone call. Jim, I'd like to see this house for $20,000. And I'm like, wow, the commission on that is, I could buy lunch tomorrow, you know. But he tested my heart. That year, I had 5 sales, all under $50,000. But you know what was great about it? Several of those clients who I've sold houses to have now called me back to resell their houses. You see, the Lord was challenging my heart. He was touching my heart. That's the whole key, you guys. Is that this service today is all about your heart. It's not about how much we can get a hold of, how much money we can make. None of that at all. It's all about your heart and the condition of your heart when the Lord asks you to give. You know, we're going to do something. The Lord's asked me to do a couple of things differently, so we're going to do some things a little differently. But you say the service is at 11:30, right?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm going to read to you an article. I was coming back from the city of Honduras, and I picked up the magazine in the plane that they supply for you to read, the shopping magazines. And I found this article, and it was on giving. And this financial planner, he went on to say this. He said, as a financial planner, it seems somewhat embarrassing to admit, but when the lottery gets really big, I always buy a ticket. I didn't buy a ticket this time. But he goes, what's even more embarrassing is that I find myself negotiating with God regarding how much that we'll give to charity if we win. Ask yourself the question, have you ever done that? Have you ever said, Lord, it's like if I win the lottery today, man, it's like $50 billion. If I win this, Lord, I'll give you 50% at least. And then all of a sudden, your mom and your dads start chiming in, your brothers, your sisters, your aunts, your uncles, everybody else wants something. And now you're thinking, well, you know, Lord, maybe 25%. We find ourselves negotiating with God, with something we don't even have. Well, let me ask you this question. Have you ever tallied up everything that you own and say, Lord, I'll give you 50% of everything I own because it's something that I possess? We don't do that. So Lord, looking at your heart, saying, are you willing to give me 50% of something that you have or 50% of something you don't have? See, we dream that we'll have all this money and all this security. Yeah, Lord, we'll do this, we'll do that. But will you give to me 50% of what you have already? That's the question you have to ask yourself. If God came down to you in your quiet time and said to you, like he said to Steve Doolin, will you give me all the money in your accounts, would you do it? What really belongs to you? Are you possessive with your possessions? Do you hold on to everything that you own? Or does everything you have really belong to God? You see, that's what happened to me. God asked me, will you give me everything that belongs to you? And he challenges me all the time. He challenges me all the time. So he goes on to say in this article, now this is a worldly article. This is not a God. This is a worldly article, okay? He goes on to say that people with regular charitable commitments often are less anxious about their money. So we theorize that the act of giving is a tacit acknowledgement that I have enough and I'll be okay, and I'll be okay. If we increase our giving, we are reducing our grasping and thereby lowering our money anxiety. What does the Bible say about giving? Jesus says to trust in him, right? God is our provider. Jehovah, Jireh, my provider, right? We sing the song. Do we really believe the song? We have to ask ourselves that question. You see, the world corporations all around the world, they give money to charitable donations, the charitable companies, donations all the time. They don't even understand what sowing and reaping is all about, but yet they do it, and look what the results are receiving. Multi-billion dollar companies. In fact, a good friend of mine, he is on the board of the Shakopee Casino. He's a born-again, spirit-filled Christian man. He loves God. He loves God. Once a month, I go down to his house, and I lead a Bible study for the Indians in that for the tribe in that area. And you know what he said? We're talking about one day. I said, how much money does the tribe give? He goes, you know, Jim, he said, our tribe, has in the last 10 years, we have given $500 million away. And you know what he said? He said, statistics show that our casino is the most successful casino in the world. He says, we've learned as a tribe to give. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
The world says that. And this man gives a percentage of his income larger than anybody I know because he loves God. You see, he developed a grateful heart because he knew where God brought him from. God brought him from drugs. God brought him out of alcohol. God brought him out of jail. This man has a heart of gratitude. And he's so willing to give to God because of what he's done for him. Mary gave a year's salary because of Jesus raised her son for her brother from the dead. Gratitude, the spirit of gratitude. That's what it's all about. It's not about possessing big houses. It's not about big bank accounts. It's not about driving Escalades, although I like to drive one. It's not about these things, but it's not about those things. It's about the heart. Recently, I was down in Honduras. And I had the privilege of meeting with several of the apostles and the missionaries down there. And there was a young man and his wife who we had a meeting with. They asked for a special meeting, and so Pastor Tim and I and our apostle down in Honduras, we met with him, and he began to tell us his story. The city in which the Lord called him to start a church, every day there's over 50 murders in that city. 50 murders. You see, the drug cartel and the government, they don't get along. And the government's trying to control what happens with the drug business. They're trying to, you know, try to clamp down on it. But the cartel's saying, really? Okay. So every day, the drug cartel, is killing 50 people a day to send a message. This is the hostile environment that he's in. This is what he lives in. So he was telling us how it is that the Lord found him a building for $500 a month. And that he had gone to school, he had got his bachelor's degree, but he hadn't really got his diploma yet because he hadn't had enough money to pay for his degree. When I heard that, the Holy Spirit said, finish paying it for him. So I leaned over into the interpreter's ear and said, I'm gonna pay your the rest of your degree, and here's why. His degree was in theology. Biblical theology, and the university that he went to wanted him to start to teach, and he loves to teach, but they were only paying him $4 a day because he didn't have his degree. And the Lord said when the Lord put it on my heart to pay for it, it now opened the door for him to receive substantial more income now that he has his degree. And he can actually pay and help raise money for his church and for his family. Not only that, while we were there, there was a murder that happened in his own church. One of his own congregants was murdered because the drug cartel decided that one day it's his turn. They were going to send a message. That's the environment these people live in. My heart says this: I want to see the kingdom of God be built. Every time we give a dollar to our church or to our missions fund, somebody gets saved. And the enemy hates that. He absolutely despises that. You see, dealing with a selfish heart, when it comes time to bring in your offering, do you sit back in your chair and go, "Well, you know, Lord, today I'm a little short this week, so I'm gonna give you half of what I owe you today." Where's your heart at? Okay? So then after the offering comes through, you sit back and you go home and you go, "Dang. You know, man, I could have used that money." What happens if we start to grieve? We start to grieve the loss of what we call our money, but it's really not our money. It doesn't belong to us. We have to overcome the grief part of it. We need to learn how to celebrate. When we give and we go home and the washer breaks down, thank God for a new washer. Amen. I'm getting a new washer. Amen. That's the attitude we need to have. Rather than, "Darn, I gave my money to church. I'm going to have to wait 2 weeks before I get a new washing machine." We have to completely learn how to change our perspective in what happens in our lives. We need to learn how to develop a generous heart. And the only way to develop a generous heart is to overcome a poverty spirit or a poverty mentality. The only way to overcome that is to do the opposite, and that is to start to give. The only way you can break it is do the absolute opposite. So when you find yourself arguing with yourself about giving, or if the Holy Spirit's put something on your heart to give, and you're fighting about it, man, take it out as fast as you can. Because I've learned this, is that when the Holy Spirit asks me to give something, the Lord puts it on my heart to give something, I take my wallet out and I go, "How much?" Because I've learned that it's not only a test, but I want that, every day I want that spirit of poverty to be broken in my life. Every day, more and more and more. To the point where I can say, "How much, Lord? Okay." Because trust me, I still deal with it once in a while. And then, I'm going to end with this. Develop a grateful heart. Develop a grateful heart. That is absolutely the key, Marcy. That's right. It's the key. What has Jesus done for you? Think about where he's brought you from. Think about the past, where you've come from, and where you are today. You're an amazing church. Develop a grateful heart. Give from a grateful heart. Because I'll say this, it's got to happen here first before it happens out here. You can give and give and give, but if it doesn't happen here first, it's not going to happen out here. God's just looking for your heart in every area of your life, not just financially, but in relationships, financials, everything, work, whatever it might be. He's looking for your heart. That's what he wants. All right. Now I'm going to ask this question. I said you come expecting today, right? Who has a need? In our church, once or twice a year, the Holy Spirit just takes over. And our pastor will walk in, and he'll say, if you have a need, raise your hand. If somebody can meet it, then if you can meet that need, we're going to ask you to meet that need. So I'm going to ask you a question. Who has a need today? Okay, lady in the blonde hair, what's your need? Stand up. Yeah. For your teeth? What about your teeth?
I need $50,000.
Okay. Let me ask you a question. Is somebody here who can help towards that? Okay. Dave? Okay. Just say, Dave, how can you help?
Well, I'll give her $100.
Okay.
Is that what you want? Is that what you're asking?
What I'm asking is there any way you can help meet the need of meeting towards her dental work? So here's somebody who will give you... Okay. 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 So what I'm just asking is that do you have a need of dental work?
Yes, I do.
Okay. So we're just asking if there's somebody here who can help meet that. Go ahead. Okay. Can you send them to say how you would help? Okay. So the two of you after service. Would you guys get together and talk? Okay, perfect. Anybody else have a need? Yes. Okay. We had a gentleman in our church whose father was arrested and brought to jail, and there were $3,000 behind on their house payment, and he stood up crying, and somebody in our congregation made his payment for him. Is there anybody that can help her with some of her debt? If you don't want to raise your hand now, just talk to her after the service. Anybody else that has a need? Anybody else have a need? Anybody else say anything? Yeah, go ahead.
Hello.
Okay. I'm sorry. Okay. Is there anybody that can help give her wisdom or guidance on how to possibly save her house or contribute toward that? Anybody? Okay. So the reason why I'm doing this is that it teaches us how to be givers. It teaches us how to meet the needs of other people with a generous, with a joyful heart. We do this literally for 2 hours at a service. And we have people giving cars away, we've had people giving houses away, we've had people, I mean, all kinds of things giving away from a grateful heart. That's why I wanted to do this few minutes here. And it's right now. It's 11:30, Dave. So I want to respect your time. But if it's possible, if we could maybe stick around for a few more minutes, would that you want to do what you want to? Yeah, just for a few more. Yeah.
It is 11:30, so we do honor that. And if you need to leave, please feel free. But we're going to allow Jim just to say a few other things. If you need to leave. Please, go ahead. But I'm just sensing that there's going to be something released here. Okay?
So real quick, I'm going to release to you the congregation before those who want to leave, I'm going to release to you what happened to me. What the Lord placed in me was the spirit of generosity. I love to give to God. I absolutely love to give to God. He has changed my life in so many ways because I learned to give the right way. If you want that same impartation, go ahead, put your receivers up because I'm going to pray for you right now. Hallelujah. Father, you said to come and to give what it is I have to give. So, Father, right now in Jesus' name, Lord, that spirit of generosity that you have placed in my spirit, Lord, I release into this congregation. Every person, Lord, who has the receivers up, Lord, I just pray that the spirit of generosity would just touch them and overwhelm them and overtake them right now in Jesus' name. Father, I thank you for relationships being transformed. I thank you for jobs. I thank you for homes. I thank you for cars. I thank you for dental work. Lord, I thank you for everything, Lord, that's under the roof of this house right now. All these needs that need to be met, Lord, I thank you that they're being met right now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. And Father, I pray that they don't keep it for themselves, but Lord, they go and share it with others. Because that's the key, is sharing it with others, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. I have two more full pages of stuff to share with you. Time got away. Keep going. Let's keep going a little bit here. Anybody else have a practical need that... A job? Is there anybody maybe who can help her have a look for jobs or help maybe do resumes or something like that? Anybody that can help her? If you're not willing to raise your hand, please make sure you meet with her after the service. You raised your hand. You raised your hand earlier. Was there something that you had in your heart?
It's more like financial.
Okay. Okay, so what I'm hearing is that you just need some help planning how to pay off your debt, how your debt paid off. Is that what I'm hearing?
I know how to pay down. So
okay.
But it's just there's other needs too.
If anybody feels compelled in their heart to talk with her to help her, do so after the service. If you want to do it now. Okay, you do. Okay, Dave. Did you say? Oh, you do? You will? So you two hook up after the service? You want to talk about that? See, this was just practical. It's practical giving. It's just practical sharing. Anybody else? Maybe you need a new toaster. Yes, sir. In the back.
Yeah, I'm living with family right now, and I can only live there so long, and there's some difficulties there, too, and it's a small place.
So you need a place to live. So you need a place to rent or apartment to rent or something like that or a place to live. Okay. If anybody knows of a place that he could possibly rent while he's working on his financial situation, meet with him after the service. Talk to him after the service. So the Holy Spirit is starting to stir here right now. This is different, I can tell. This is really different, but the Holy Spirit is starting to stir, and he's doing it for a reason. Does anybody have it in their heart to give something that hasn't been spoken yet? Do you have it on your heart to give something that you just want to give? You have that maybe somebody could need that they haven't voiced their need yet. Yes, sir. What's that? Oh, okay. So the two of you can get together after the service then? Praise God. See, it's already starting to happen.
Does anybody know a good lawyer who can probate
lawyer? I know one. I can talk to you after service. Anybody else? You have a bike or microwave or something practical that you don't need anymore, or maybe that it's in good working order. Missionaries always have a tendency to get the cars that are held together with Jesus wire. We want to make sure that whatever it is you're going to give away is working. It's good. It's working good quality order. Anything? Anything, anybody? Yes, sir.
I have a computer I'd like to give away.
Do you have a computer? Anybody need a computer? Anybody have a computer that need that in their home? Sir, do you have a computer in your home?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
There was one in there, but it went to heck, so it's
gotten off. So you need a computer. Right here. Here's your man right here. Okay? See, it's learning to be comfortable. Yes, the other day, a man walked up to me and said, I need a piano for my son. Or a woman walked up to me, I need a piano for my son to learn piano on. I just happened to have a really nice Roland electric keyboard in my office that wasn't getting used. And I said, you can have mine. It's the spirit of generosity. It's hearing of a need and meeting the need. So we had a computer. Anybody else? I would encourage you that if you have something in your house that you no longer are using, that's in good working order, that could be a blessing to somebody else, that you call Pastor Dave or Pastor Bob or Marcy or whoever it might be at the church and say, hey, I have this item here that I'm not using, but it's a really good working order. Can anybody in the church use this item? Because there's always people in need. There's always people in need. Good word? All right, like I said, I have two more pages of stuff I could share with you, and I didn't really get to the heart of what I wanted to share, so I hope you'll accept me to come back. I'd like to share with you more with what I have. Another time, Dave and I will get together and we'll talk about it. But thank you for allowing me to come and to bless you. I just pray God's blessings upon you. I pray favor upon you in Jesus' name. Expect favor. It's not wrong to expect the favor of God. It's not wrong to expect the favor of God. If you're having problems accepting favor from God, then we need to talk about selfishness. Because a selfish spirit says, I don't want favor. I'll do it myself. All right? Pastor Dan?
You know, was that a little bit uncomfortable for anybody? That was a little bit uncomfortable, wasn't it? But, you know, the second chapter of Acts said that they did just that. Anybody among them that had a need was fulfilled by somebody else who was able to give into that need. So maybe this uncomfortableness is bringing an awareness to something that we need to understand in the body of Christ, that number one, when I have a need, it is arrogance and it's pride to try to do it myself. But when I have something that I can give and be a blessing, I don't necessarily need to be recompensed for it. I can give generously. Please hear what the Spirit was saying in this exercise and what we are doing here. Amen? It was hard for me. It was hard for me. And that's all right. I like being challenged. We are going to have some prayer teams up here. If you need prayer for anything, those of you that have those needs, have you been to somebody? We have altars up here every Sunday. Have you come and presented your need where somebody can stand with you and pray? But if you need healing in your body, anything that you need, come on up and we will pray with you. There's coffee out in the lobby. Give a hug to somebody on your way out. God bless you.